verses 5 and 6, Song of Solomon, chapter 1. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. As I was thinking about the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning, and a text appropriate to preach for communion, there were two things in my mind. They say it's good for a minister to sit and to hear someone else preach. And two things that were on my mind were things that I heard recently as I sat and heard other pastors. One was Reverend Henko's sermon for preparatory last Sunday evening from Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17, where the scriptures speak of the acceptable sacrifice of a broken and a contrite heart. And as we've examined ourselves this week, that's what we've meditated on, that we come to God with this acceptable sacrifice, this confession, what we sang, I am evil, born in sin. So that was one thing in my mind. The other thing in my mind was a speech that I heard at the Young People's Convention, and the young people that are here will remember that. The theme of the Young People's Convention this year was contentment. And finding our contentment, especially in this, in Jesus Christ. And one of the questions that was asked throughout the week, and which was the theme of the final speech, was content with who I am. Who am I? What defines me as a Christian? What defines me is not my appearance, not what I possess, not what others think of me, not what I think others think of me, but who I am in Jesus Christ. My beauty as one who's redeemed. Well, the passage that we consider this morning contains both of those ideas. I am black, but comely. Who am I? I am black, but comely. And that's our important confession this morning as we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper also. So let's consider these verses under the theme, I am black but comely. First, confessing our blackness, and then second, confident of our comeliness. To the casual reader, the Song of Solomon is really just a beautiful love poem, a love story between a king and his princess. But because it's the inspired Word of God, and as those who have the Spirit of God that wrote and inspired this, it's much more to us as believers. It is the story of the Gospel, of the love of God in Jesus Christ for His bride, the Church. And while it's based on a true story, and does tell the true story of Solomon and the Shulamite, a beautiful story too, we must go beyond that story and understanding that story to the spiritual reality that we see in this book. But we have to understand some of the story. This is a real story, and part of it is told here quite clearly in verse 6 when the Shulamite says, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me and made me the keeper of the vineyard. There's a lot of the background of the Song of Solomon in that verse. And if you go to chapter 8, you see some of this explained again. Solomon, the king, had a vineyard in Ephraim about 50 miles north of Jerusalem. And he left it in the care of a woman who had two sons. And this woman and her two sons took care of Solomon's vineyard. She also has a younger child, a daughter. She's beautiful, but her beauty goes unnoticed by herself, by her family, because her brothers need her to help them with the work in the vineyard. And so they put her to work, and her work is described much like the work of a bondservant, a slave. Due to her hard work, she is burned by the sun. That's the idea in the text, that I am black, and don't look on me. The sun has burned me. It's made me to appear this way, and that in contrast to what was considered so beautiful in this day, and it would be the beauty of a fair-skinned woman who lived indoors and had the privilege of living indoors in a palace. She's burned by the sun. One day, the king, Solomon, visits this vineyard, and he sees this young lady working in the vineyard, and he recognizes her beauty. And there's a courtship, and much of that is recorded in the Song of Solomon, and eventually she's taken back to Jerusalem and becomes his queen. And she even takes Solomon's own name in the feminine form, Solomon Shulamite, the feminine form of Solomon's name, Mrs. Solomon. In Jerusalem, she lives in the court of the king, and her friends are what are referred to in the Song of Solomon, the daughters of Jerusalem. And much of the Song of Solomon is a conversation between her and the daughters of Jerusalem. We have that again in verse 6 here when she says, "Look not on me." She's saying to the daughters of Jerusalem, "Stop looking at me. Don't stare at me because I'm sunburned. Look not on me." In the palace, she's loved and she's adorned by the king, and she becomes the fairest of women, the standard for beauty in Jerusalem. But what we see, and we see this especially in the text this morning, is that this does not make her vain, conceited, and proud, but she always remembers who she is, a vineyard worker. And that's what we see in the words of the text. That's what we have to recognize in the confession that she makes as she describes herself in the beginning of the verse, "I am black, but comely." That's somewhat of a strange description of self. On the one hand, she says, "I'm black." That's her view of her own physical appearance, and she's somewhat self-conscious about this and embarrassed about this, and she doesn't want the daughters of Jerusalem to stare at her, to look at her. She says, "Don't look at me. I'm black. The sun has done this to me. My brothers did this to me." She's self-conscious of that fact. But at the same time, she doesn't want them to look at her for her outward beauty. She's in fact beautiful, but unconscious of it, because this is not what defines her. This is not who she is. "Don't look at me, don't evaluate me," she's saying, "by my outward appearance. This is not who I am. I'm not defined by this." On the other hand, she says, "I'm comely." She knows that there's a beauty, but this beauty is not what's on the outside, as we'll see, but as the tents of Kedar. And we'll describe that later in the sermon. And she attributes her beauty to the king who's brought her into his palace. Now, it's important that we see when she recognizes this and when she says this. In verse 5, "I am black," comes after verse 4, when she has gone into the king's chambers. The king has brought me into his chambers. And so what's described here in the first verses of the Song of Solomon is the wedding night, and the princess being taken into the palace as the wife of the king. And as she emerges from that, this is her confession: "I am black." She recognizes, she sees about herself that she's by nature out of place as a princess and a queen in the king's palace. Now, we understand, of course, that there is a spiritual dimension to this poem and this illustration, and that's where we have to lift our eyes this morning as we think about the words of the text. What we have here is a confession of the believing sinner of the church, which is the bride of Jesus Christ, a confession of who she is by nature. A confession for every believing child of God here this morning of who we are by nature, especially now as we stand before the glory of the King. I am black. Apart from the gospel, this is not something that we naturally see. Yes, we are naturally black. But it's now as we stand before the King and as we stand before the sacrament this morning and as we stand before the glory of the exalted Jesus Christ and as we are brought to communion and fellowship with Him that we especially see that we are black. After she's brought into the King's chambers, she says, "I'm black." We should think of other instances in Scripture that are similar to this. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees the glory of God in the temple of God in a vision. And in this vision, the glory of God is so resilient that the cherubim, who have six wings each, cover themselves, protect themselves from the resplendent glory of God, and they cry out, these sinless creatures, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And this is what Isaiah sees, and his response is, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I am black." Or in the Gospels, you have the story of Jesus on the ship with the disciples in the midst of a storm. And the disciples, as they lived and walked with Jesus, were prone to think of Him as a man and forget who He really was. And then you remember that they, in their fear, woke Jesus from His sleep. And He said, "Why are you so fearful?" And He spoke to the storm and the winds, and there was a great calm. And Peter's response and the disciples' response, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey Him?" And Peter falls down at His feet with these words, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." This morning, that's our confession as we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That's our confession as we come in worship before God who has revealed Himself in all His glory and splendor in the gospel and in Jesus Christ and in the exaltation of Jesus Christ. "I'm black." The opposite is this: "I'm white. I'm clean. I'm righteous." And we'll get to that. Those are the garments with which we come to the wedding feast. But here we are as we stand in ourselves before God, before the gospel, before the Savior. "I am black." Is that how you see yourself this morning? Is that your confession? And you see, this is not just an abstract confession of depravity, human depravity. It's not a formal, doctrinal confession in which we say, well, this is the natural condition of man, but this is a personal confession that comes from a personal humility. It's expressed personally in the verse. She says, "I am black." It arises out of a humble heart. She says to the daughters of Jerusalem who are admiring her, "Look not on me. I'm not so beautiful. I'm black. Don't look on me." And that's the true Christian's response before God and before others. Self-deprecating humility. Maybe somebody admires your walk and your life as a Christian, sees you as outstanding, What's your response? I'm black. You really don't know me. Isaiah 64, verse 6, we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Think of the confession of the Apostle Paul in the letter that he wrote to the church at Rome. Paul, who was a prominent leader in the early church. Oh, wretched man that I am. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, the confession of human depravity is not just this, that the natural man is inclined by nature to hate God and to never be able to do any good, but that's what I recognize about myself as I stand before the gospel and before God and His glory. Not me. Maybe others, but not me. Humble. The believer is not proud. He's not boastful. He's not one who expects the praise of others for his virtue or his works. He's humble. And so the church, the bride here, is the church of Jesus Christ. What's true of the members of the church should be true of the church as well. Do we expect the accolades of men for who we are as a church, for who we are as a denomination of churches, so strong, so unified, so faithful? Or are we willing to see our weaknesses, to learn as a church and people of God, not so beautiful, don't admire us? I'm black. This comes from self-examination. This bride stands before the glory of the king in his chambers. The church in Laodicea refused that. Revelation 3, she said, I am rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. But it's the cautious believer, the cautious bride, church, slow to say any such thing about herself, conscious of her continued need for growth and sanctification, that makes her ready to see her sins and weaknesses and to confess them. And then she doesn't use herself as the standard, or she doesn't use men as the standard for what a Christian is, but she stands, the believer stands before the King's holiness and glory. And the brighter the glory of God, the deeper the sense, the richer the sense of the grace of God that comes to us black sinners. And so this is the question for us this morning. This is the question for each one of us as we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and for each one of us as believers. The question for us as a church, as a body of believers, are we examining ourselves, and do we see this as we stand before the glory of the King? I am black. As a church, as individual believers in the Christian home. There's something else we could be, and that's mentioned here at the end of verse 6, and it's this, that her brothers made her work so busily in their vineyards that she was unable to keep her own vineyard. Notice that. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. In other words, she was so busy that she never realized her blackness. She was so busy working in others' vineyards and not keeping her own. And we can be that way, busy pointing out the faults of every other church, every other member of the church. And we don't keep our own vineyard. And so we must, this morning, realize we're not perfect. There is need for spiritual growth and sanctification. And that's what we see as we come and worship. And that's what we see as we come to the sacrament of communion with the glorious King. Maybe you say, yes, I'm black. Maybe you're willing to admit your problems with sin, pride, anger, self-righteousness, I'm never wrong. But now, here's the test of the genuineness. Let someone else point that out to you. Your pride. Your selfishness. And then, what do? We rise up in self-defense. Rather than this confession, I am black. But there's a kind of a paradox here. On the one hand, she says, this is who I am, black. On the other hand, this is who I am, comely. And both of them, because she's in the presence of the King in His glory. Before the King, she sees that in herself she's black, but also brought into the presence of the King and experiencing the love of the King, she says, this is who I am. I'm lovely. I'm comely. The word comely means beautiful. And what she's saying here is that left to myself, I am black, but brought into the King's palace, into the King's presence, experiencing the love of the King, I'm comely. I'm beautiful. Does she make herself beautiful for the King? No. But it's the King's love and the experience of the King's love that transforms her. Perhaps you've seen something like that before. Either a young man or a young woman comes to their maturity because of love. It brings the best out of them. A young woman is transformed. She matures in marriage. Well, that's what the Shulamite is saying here with the King, in the King's eyes, while I pursue the King, in the experience of the King's love, while I seek the King, while I'm surrounded by the King's glory, living with the King, I am comely. I am beautiful. But this illustration here that she uses to describe her comeliness is very important for our understanding of that. I am black, but comely. And then she describes her comeliness this way, as the tents of Kedar and as the certain curtains of Solomon. And what we see here is that she's saying that her beauty is different than what the daughters of Jerusalem are looking at. They're looking at her and saying, what a specimen of physical beauty. She says, don't look at my physical beauty. I am black from an outward appearance, but I am comely. And these illustrations help us to understand that this is a deeper beauty that results from the King's love. As the tents of Kedar. Kedar was a son of Ishmael, and his descendants were nomads and shepherds who lived in tents in the fields where they took care of their animals. Those tents were black. They were black from the sun, much as she was burned from the sun. And from the outside, these tents didn't look much, but when you opened the door and went in, there was a beauty. These sons of Ishmael had a love for fine stones, and they would sew those stones into the insides of the tent and decorate their tents with all kinds of precious jewels and stones. And if the sun came in through the door, the inside of the tent was resplendent. This is what she's saying. On the outside, black. On the inside, comely, beautiful. The other illustration shows the same thing as the curtains of Solomon. Perhaps the reference here is to the long curtains that hung in the temple, or maybe some other curtains in Solomon's palace. But in either case, it would mean the same thing. From the outside, these curtains are just dark pieces of heavy cloth. But you go behind them, and what do you have? Well, in the most holy place in the temple, you have the resplendent glory of the Shekinah cloud, the presence of God. Comely. Or in the palace of Solomon, the riches of his chamber. And what the passage is telling us is that the glory and beauty of the church and of the child of God is not external. This is not who she is. This is not her beauty. But her beauty is internal. It's worked by the grace and love of the King for her. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 describes, or 3 and 4 describes the beauty of the godly woman this way. Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing gold and putting on of apparel, not the externals, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And here's the value, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now that's true for a woman, but also for man. And so the scriptures say, don't put your confidence in the strength of a man's legs or in the wisdom of a man's head, but the grace that produces a godly virtue before God. And think of the contrast in the Pharisees. Jesus said to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." What were they? These were men who put the best show on. They were religious. Jesus says they're like whited sepulchres. They appear beautiful on the outside, but are within full of dead man's bones and all kinds of uncleanness. So who am I? What is it that makes me beautiful, comely? Well, the world has one standard, but the Word of God has another. This is true beauty. This woman is not defined by how she appears, but she's defined by who God has made her in His love. She's black, and her blackness comes from the sun, from her life under the sun, from the pressures of her life in this world, from the evil influences in her life. But she's comely. Her beauty is from the King, from Christ. And that's what we must see this morning in the text here and in the sacrament as well. It's the renewing power of the grace and the Spirit of God that makes us glorious and beautiful before God. This illustration that we see here in this text is really opened up and explained more fully in Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, you have the account of the woman who was a prostitute lying in her sin, polluted. And so in verse 6, God says to His bride, "When I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. And I said, Live, live. And then this is what we read in the following verses, in verses 8 through 12, when I passed by thee and looked on thee, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, and I washed thee with water. I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil, and I clothed thee with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk, and I decked thee with ornaments, and I put bracelets on thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. And now she could say, the church can say, the bride of Christ can say, the believer can say, I'm comely. But who did it? Was the one that passed by in his love and came and made a covenant, unilateral covenant, and took this one and washed her and clothed her and shod her and jeweled her. Grace. Sovereign grace. Unconditional grace. Electing grace. God's grace. That has found us in our blackness and made us the comely bride. Ephesians 1 verse 6 puts it this way, after talking about election concerning the church of God, she's accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Christ. The church is accepted. The bride of Christ is accepted in Him. And so we're clothed in white robes of the righteousness of Christ. And this is how we come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not in our own righteousness. I am black in myself, beautiful in Him. God forbid then that we should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. And now as we come to the sacrament this morning, these are the things that we see. We come as the bride of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, into the chambers of the King to fellowship with Him, to eat at His table. And this is what we say concerning ourselves as we come. Black, sinners, unworthy. You might think that the bride is loved because she's worthy, but it isn't that. Instead, this king, this prince, he pays the price to redeem this bride and make her his own. The price of his own blood. And this is what makes her beautiful. This is what makes her acceptable. And that's what the sacrament teaches us this morning. Christ receives us, receives me, confessing my blackness. Not because I'm beautiful in myself, not because I've done something or been something to make myself worthy, but it's His love that transforms me, that makes me accepted in the beloved. Comely. But His grace has done that. And that's the story of the Song of Solomon. Solomon the king found in Ephraim this blackened lass. He brought her to his palace. He enriched her. He made her beautiful. And she remembered, I'm black. My comeliness is from Him, a reflection of His glory. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for the glorious gospel of grace in Jesus Christ that has taken us, depraved, sinners from the darkness of our sin. Helped us to see that, to confess that, and then brought us into the glories of life, covenant life with Christ, so that His glory shines through us. As we receive the sacrament, and then as we leave the sacrament, help us, Lord, to remember this. Also to reflect His glory, His grace, as we depart. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.